and Indy and everything that flies. It's all about the race and it's everything we know. Full down throttle, welcome to the show. Race Day Rock, it's your speedway report now. Race Day Rock, it's your facts from the track. Race Day Rock, it's the speedway report now. This is how we rock, this is how we roll. NASCAR, ARCA, modifies and drags.
Speedway Report is produced and broadcast by the Zeus Radio Network for Racers Reunion Radio. Ricky Taylor and Philippe Albuquerque turned the Rolex 24 into a short track heat race. Three-quarter midgets continue the indoor season in Atlantic City, New Jersey. And this is our first broadcast since the new NASCAR format announcement. Well, buckle up. All this and more. Welcome to Speedway Report for Monday, January the 30th, 2017, from the shores of Lake Norman in Race City, USA, Mooresville, North Carolina. I'm Patrick Reynolds, and thank you for joining us tonight from the North Myrtle Beach ZRN studios. On the other end of these, producer Jeff Gilder is giving us four tires and fuel for our run to the checkered flag at the top of the hour. This is the fastest half hour in racing. We're on SpeedwayReport.com, Racers Reunion, and Facebook Live. A big hello to everyone joining us on Racers Reunion Radio. We are heard on SpeedwayReport.com and RacersReunion.com. Now, we're also streaming if you want to watch us. We are on Facebook Live and the Racers Reunion site. So you can head on over to the Facebook page, Speedway Report with Patrick Reynolds, or RacersReunion.com, and you can watch your TV broadcasts. And if you're on our Facebook page, little hint there, Speedway Report with Patrick Reynolds, we would appreciate a like. We got a pretty good like crew and increase over the weekend where I did a little traveling down to Daytona and the Rolex 24. We'll talk about that very shortly. Hello to everyone viewing a podcast. If you're on Speedway Report TV, up on the top ribbon of SpeedwayReport.com, just click on that TV button and here we are. And just to round out social media, you can tweet me directly at Speedway Pat. I want to say hello to our friends on the Racers Reunion site, the revamped, rebuilt one, brand new thing, all freshened up, new rings and bearings. Barb is over there. Thomas Warren is in there. The legend is with us, Tim Leeming. Danny Whitener also with us. Jeff Gilder and myself are also signed in. And hello to good friend Leo down in South America. Rarely misses a Speedway Report. I don't think he misses any Speedway Reports, either live or a podcast. Leo, hello to you, and thank you for joining us tonight. We're going to take a look at the Victory Lane lap and tell you who won what over the weekend. Last weekend in January 2017, racing is going strong. Big event over the weekend, IMSA opened up their season with the Rolex 24 at Daytona. Racing action started Friday afternoon with the BMW Endurance Challenge that was won by Trent Hindman and Cameron Castles. Then on Saturday, we took the green flag for the 55th annual Rolex 24 at Daytona at 2:30 in the afternoon. Sunday, yesterday, 2:30, the checkered flag came down, and the prototype winner and overall champion was Wayne Taylor Racing, the quadrupled group of drivers there, Ricky Taylor, Jordan Taylor, Max Angelelli, and Jeff Gordon. The PC class was won by Performance Tech Motorsports, GTD by Allegra Motorsports, and GT Le Mans by the Porsche factory team. The three-quarter midgets were up in Atlantic City, New Jersey. Now, on Friday night, they had four qualifying features. They were won by Justin Bonsignor, Ted Christopher, Zane Ziner, and Mike Isles. Four 20 lappers, four checkered flags. That set those guys up for Saturday's feature race main event, where Eric Rudolph held off Zeiner for the 40-lap win in the closest margin of victory in the history of the indoor racing up there in Atlantic City. Tight finish there. The Speed Fest was run down at the Crisp Motorsports Park in Georgia. The short track there for pavement late models. Qualifying Saturday features yesterday afternoon. The Pro Late Model 125 won by Casey Roderick and the Super Late Model 200 taken by Harrison Burton. Now, let's step back to the weekend. Speedway Report and myself, we went down to the Rolex 24 at the Daytona International Speedway, or should I say Bowman Gray Stadium. Check out speedwayreport.com. You'll see the connection there. Seriously, Ricky Taylor and Philippe Albuquerque provided the water cooler moment for this Monday morning. Did you see the finish of the race? Let me ask you. 7 minutes left after 24 hours. We had gone 23 hours, 53 minutes, 7 minutes left. These two are duking it out. Albuquerque, your leader. Taylor in second. They roll into the left-hander at turn one. Albuquerque leaves a little bit of daylight underneath. Ricky Taylor jumps down in there, commits to it. It was your typical left rear of the leader to the right front of second place. Around goes Albuquerque in a 360. Taylor takes off. He is the new leader. And we all kind of waited for the ruling on this one. Now, Taylor, after the race, he talked quite a bit about the move and said that he was getting through that section of the track quicker. For the record, Wayne Taylor Racing had the fastest machine for the entire race. They were the dominant car through most of the event. Led a lot of the race, were leading most of the time. With their group of drivers in the rain and the daylight did not matter. And Taylor described it as a typical stock car move. They had the daylight open below Albuquerque. He committed, sent the car in there. There was room. And he said Albuquerque came down on him, tried to block him, take the space away from him. At that point in the race, Taylor was saying, well, I could do one of two things. He can back out and maybe take a run at him at all and have a wait until next year. But I didn't want to do that. Simple as that. He went for the win. Now, that Wayne Taylor Racing Group had run second in this event, I think, four times. In the last 5 years, he pointed out, they have not lost a lap in the Rolex 24. That's right. 5 years, they have not lost a lap. They have been on the lead lap for 5 years in this race. Have not gone to the garage area all that time in the Rolex 24 and all those hours of racing. Now, Albuquerque, who was leading, obviously he had a much different view of it. Looked in his mirror. He did see Taylor coming. He took the space like a good road racer would, especially when you're leading the race this big an event that late in it. Albuquerque took the spot, or what he thought was there. Taylor wasn't having anything of it, and around he went. But Albuquerque talked about had some strong words about Taylor, said he should be shamed. You know, he would be ashamed of the win if he won like that. So this happened. Taylor takes off and Albuquerque goes around. All of us in the media center, as well as the fans as well, I think we're all waiting for a ruling from the stewards on this. It was under review. It was announced. The officials are taking a look at that. In this type of racing, sports car road racing, I expected Taylor to be penalized with some sort. I expected something to happen here with this type of racing, because it's not stock car racing. It's not short track action, not Friday and Saturday night stuff where you see this. Heck, it's not even Bristol or Martinsville. This just doesn't happen. You don't use your fenders. It's more of the gentleman's type of agreement that you may see in Formula One or IndyCar racing, where they just race differently and respect each other in a different type of way. Not this time. Reminded me of a short track move. So we wait a moment. There's 7 minutes left in the race. Well, under green in good conditions, you're talking about a minute and a half for a lap around the Daytona road course. There's not that many laps left in the race. Stewards look at it a few seconds later, 30 seconds, 60, whatever it was. They announce no ruling. We're just going to keep going. And there is Albuquerque about 5 seconds behind Taylor, because he did a great job with a 360 spin. Kept the car running and just chased after him. So he went from leading to only about 5 seconds behind. He closed to less than a second when the checkered flag waved on that. You can read a lot more about the Rolex 24 at speedwayreport.com. Want to talk about that in a little bit. We're going to come back to the Rolex 24. and tell you guys a little bit more about what happened down there. Last week we were off. The studio was dark. We were not broadcasting. So I did not get a chance to weigh in on the new NASCAR format. Looking back on the calendar here, I think our last broadcast was the 16th, and I believe it was the 17th or possibly the night of the 16th that they announced this new formatted segments of the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series. I've got to practice saying that so I get it correct for 2017. So it's somewhat old news. We all know what's happening now, but last week's show was dark. I didn't get a chance to weigh in. This thing has been bugging me for a couple of weeks, and I wanted an audience. Now, we keep hearing descriptions of this NASCAR's new format as NASCAR's enhancements. Let me talk to you about that. Enhancement, a noun, defined as an increase or improvement in quality, value, or extent. Took that right out of the definition of it. Let me ask you, what? There is nothing here that's an enhancement. There is nothing about this formula, in my opinion, stress this whole thing is my opinion, that improves quality, improves value, or improves extent of any form of NASCAR racing. This is not an enhancement. It is a change, and not for the better. Now, we've got segments coming up, which is one of the things that I really, really dislike about that. Regular audience members of this show know that I'm not a segmented fan type of guy. Any race that starts where you know where a caution will fall or you know when a break will be, I'm not a fan of. I don't like it. I don't care for it. We could talk about the Busch Clash or the Shootout, whatever the heck they called that over the years. That had planned stoppages in for a couple decades now. I don't like it. NASCAR's All-Star Race at Charlotte has been, I don't think two formats have ever been the same. I don't like it. Heck, the Knoxville Nationals used to be a 30 or 40 lap A main. Now that's a 50 lap A main with a fuel stop at halfway. I don't like it. Short track racing in general, there's plenty of cases where there's halfway breaks, stoppages, competition cautions, all scheduled for when the event starts. I can't stand any of that. They suck. Hate every one of them. To me, I know I'm beating a dead horse with my points here, but there should be three mandatory flags in any race. Just three. The green, the white, and the checkered. Those are the only three flags that need to wave for you to run an auto race. Now, between the green, the original green, and the white, a lot can happen in between, but it doesn't have to happen. You don't know what's going to happen. That's why we run the race. That yellow flag may come out 25 times between the green and the white. It may come out zero times. You don't know. That's what I don't like about racing. We are trying to make this whole thing, cup racing, Xfinity, and trucks, so much like stick and ball sports. What do we have? Super Bowl coming up this Sunday as an example. We have a score at the quarter, a score at the half, a score at three quarters, and finally your final. You've somewhat got that a little bit with three periods in the coming NASCAR races. Segment one, there's a winner. Segment two, there's a winner. And there's an overall winner of the race. We're really, really trying to take the torch to the metal here, bend this sport into a stick and ball type of situation. And I'm not a fan of it at all. I don't like it at all. The points are being paid out at these first two segments. The idea is to increase the mid-race action in the event. I understand the point of trying to increase the mid-race action, but I just don't like the way they're doing it. We're coming up with more gimmicks, more stuff, more flashing, less substance for our NASCAR racing here. I can't get on board with this. You know, who is it? Humpy Wheeler? Bruton Smith said, man, if it takes more than three sentences to explain, excuse me, takes too long. This thing, you need a diagram and a postcard to follow this whole procedure on here. In other words, it has a long explanation, my goodness, you should not need an explanation for points. They shouldn't exist. Why do you have to explain points? You win the race, you get the most points. At the end of the year, the guy with the most points, he's your champ. It's as simple as that, and other series are doing it. You want to hear fans laugh about this? Go to other events. Go to other sanctioning bodies. I was just at the IMSA event, Road Racing Fans, down in Daytona. You want to hear some diehard, dedicated race fans that are absolutely rolling their eyes and laughing at NASCAR? Go talk to a road racing group. They hold their gut and roll their eyes and laugh out loud at how stupid NASCAR racing is becoming. Now, I've heard the, what is it, the give it a chance arguments, right? No, I don't want to give it a chance. I was told to give it a chance back in 2003 when we announced our chase format for 2004. How do you know how bad it's going to be unless you give it a chance? Well, I've given it a chance now for 13 years, and guess what? It still sucks. You can call it the chase. You can call it playoffs. I don't care. Whatever you want to call it, it's no good. And these, you know, we've eliminated the chase tag. We're playoff bound. We've got the three races, and the final race. We've still got the 10-race playoffs at the end of the year. So, you know, you saw smoke and mirrors again. You're just using names and stickers and stuff. To what are we trying to do here? NASCAR is trying to attract that younger audience. Let's go back to the beginnings of the chase again. That was supposed to attract the younger audience so we could compete to the NFL, have more interest in the fall as we decided our championship. This is going to be great. Well, let's forget about the big thing that happened that year when we swapped from Winston to Nextel with that chase. That was the big sponsorship move. We went from cigarettes to cell phones. Hello, is anybody down in Daytona Beach home? How do you market to people at 20 years old? What's the bigger product than a cell phone, for crying out loud? You've got the market on that, and you couldn't do it. But we're going to do it with Monster Energy Drink somehow. Now, I'll give Monster a chance to promote. I'm looking forward to seeing the company promote. I welcome them here, actually. But that's the excuse you give every time, NASCAR. We're going to appeal to a younger audience. We're going to get the hip crowd in here. I'll tell you right now, this segmented racing, you aren't going to drag a single fan through the turnstiles of what you're looking for your age group and your marketability bracket. The segments and playing caution and points, it's not going to happen. You're not going to get anybody in there that it isn't already there. I've said this many times, too. How do you attract the younger race fan? They're brought by an older race fan, and NASCAR is driving every single older race fan away with change. Yeah, I know the stereotype. Everybody, you know, hates change. We don't like to do it. We need to change in order to move forward. I 100% agree with you. We need to change, but change is not always good. You can change for the worse. You can change to be bad. This, what you've done, is a bad change. Yes, you have to change. Not this. This is not what you need to do. I really have will probably not be watching a lot of it, and it's not in some orchestrated boycott. I'm not got this grassroots movement of march or a boycott of NASCAR and all that. I'm not. The point is, you've created a product that I just don't care anymore. I don't know if I like it anymore. And people say about change, well, you don't have to like it. And to them, I say back, yes, we do, NASCAR. We're customers. Fans are customers, and they pay everybody's salary. And yes, they do have to like it because they don't have to go. They don't have to watch. You need to have a product that I like. I don't need auto racing. I want auto racing. There's a difference. You're not giving me what I want. This may appeal to the next guy. This is one guy's opinion. I'm not looking forward to this. I am excited to IMSA's second event in Sebring next month, the 12 hours. And I'm excited about the IndyCar opener in St. Petersburg next month. The Daytona 500, yeah, I am attending it. We have credentials. We'll see what happens. I don't know. Off my soapbox and onto some more pleasant stuff I certainly wanted to talk about. On the Speedway Report site over the weekend, I covered the Rolex 24. We have no less than six stories up on the Speedway Report site that came out of Daytona this weekend. I've got reports of on-track action from the Rolex 24, includes update on Saturday night's update there, on a Sunday morning update, and then at the finish to wrap up the race, including more quotes, a lot of quotes from Ricky Taylor and Philippe Albuquerque as with their battle at the end of the race. I quoted you the highlights off the top of my head. Oh, believe me, there was a lot more to be said. Head to speedwayreport.com. I also talked about the weather. Wow, is it cold down there? Wow, is it rainy down there? And these guys raced right through it. It was pretty good. And two great stories that came across. Tyler Clary was a 2012 Olympic swimming gold medalist who is now racing with IMSA in the Continental Tire Sports Car Series. And I talked with James Vance as well, who's been a guest on this show before, and he introduced me, or I actually kind of stumbled across it anyway, to a lovely program called the Race Day Foundation. Think of Make-A-Wish that gears everything towards a day at the Speedway. I met Jill Beck, who leads it, her daughter Grace, who is a wonderful ambassador to Race Day Foundation. So you want to learn all about these folks, please head on over to SpeedwayReport.com. We've got a whole slew of stories for you guys to read on SpeedwayReport.com. Oh, yeah, before we sign off the air tonight, shameless plug coming up, stickers here, magnet here, Speedway Report propaganda and stuff. Just email me or message me your address. We'll get them to you.
And that's to the birthday boy. Happy birthday, Patrick.
Ah, you are. Somebody said something about a birthday. I don't know
what it is. It is Patrick Reynolds' birthday today, folks. Ask him how old he is when you see him on Facebook or Twitter, whatever. Just find out. You'll be surprised.
A lot of
wisdom there for a 24-year-old.
Yeah. Audio's breaking up here. Jeff can't help you too much. All right. Well, Gilder joins us as we sign off for the night. Always good to talk to Jeff. Jeff, thanks for the reminder. I knew it was something today, so it was always good talking to you, brother. In between our broadcasts, everyone, keep up on the world of auto racing as our website, SpeedwayReport.com. Our Speedway Report TV replays are now posted on the site. Just go on the top ribbon and click the TV button, and you can watch tonight's show as well as past programs. And as I just said, six stories from the Rolex 24 this weekend. Don't miss them at SpeedwayReport.com. Big thanks to Jeff Gilder, ZRN, and Racers Reunion for the production work tonight. And you can hear more from Jeff and Racers Reunion Tuesday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Time on Racing Through History. And Free Pennington with Making an Impact will kick off tomorrow night at 6:30 Eastern Time on Racers Reunion. Now, 1 week from tonight, we will be making room for a special guest. We haven't done this lately. Well, Connecticut pastor Will Marotti is launching his 2017 IndyCar program. We talked to him last year right before the 500. We will hear from him in 1 week. Big thanks to everyone on the Racers Reunion chat rooms for tuning in. Great to be part of your family as well. And if you tuned in late or would like to catch a rebroadcast of Speedway Report or any Racers Reunion programs, you can simply catch up like this. Racers Reunion Radio has live content Monday and Tuesday. We replay that 24/7 through the whole week, so you can catch it by clicking the Listen Now button on Racers Reunion or SpeedwayReport.com, and everything's archived as well, so you can listen to it on demand. I want to thank all of the military, past and present, for the freedoms we enjoy as Americans in our daily life, including the simple things like bench racing right here on a Monday night. Freedom is not free, and a veteran paid that bill for us. To all the men and women who are defending freedom and watching Speedway Report, take care of yourselves and come home soon. And a special salute to the teachers, school staff, firefighters, police officers, and paramedics in our own communities. They are quiet and modest heroes every single day. God bless and thank you. You have been watching Speedway Report from the shores of Lake Norman in Race City, USA, Mooresville, North Carolina. Produced and broadcast by the Zeus Radio Network for Racers Reunion Radio. Don't go anywhere, because BP, JB, and BS are coming right up at the top of the hour on Racing and Rocking with Draglist.com. A reminder to like our Facebook page, Speedway Report with Patrick Reynolds. and follow me on Twitter at SpeedwayPat. For Jeff Gilder, I'm Patrick Reynolds. We will be back in 1 week with news from the winter meltdown in Dillon, South Carolina, racing's hot topics, and a chat with IndyCar team owner Will Marotti. Thank you all for joining us on Facebook Live, Racers Reunion Radio, and SpeedwayReport.com. Good night.